This is the Lads Talking Footy podcast. It is myself, Sam, joined by Jordan Tana. Mate, how's it going?
Yeah, man, I'm recovered. I've had a few days to mull on the Warriors' loss, and I've accepted it. We've got a good game this week against the Titans, so hopefully we can get back in the winners' column. But, you know, I'm not too confident after that performance, to be honest.
Yeah, Juju got the best of us, and hopefully Juju doesn't come back around. We'll get into the stats when we get the preview, but it is looking good for the Warriors this week. But we will move on into accountability. So do you want to take us away on that, mate?
Yeah, sure thing, bro. So kind of like a 50-50 week for us this week. I've come through with 5 out of 8 of my picks right, and you've gotten 4 out of 8. To start off the week, we had the Storm beating the Roosters 18-12. I've come through with Storm 1-12. And you've had a good one here with Coates, anytime try scorer into Storm head-to-head.
Yeah, that was paying $4 odds in that one. We got off, hit the ground running to begin the week, which is always good. Xavier Coates is just a try-scoring machine at the moment, and the Storm, even though they are close ones, they're still getting the results.
Yeah, you love yourself a first game green tick. Hopefully it just all comes at some point during the season. An all 8 tick green would be absolutely outstanding. This one, a dampener on the move. Dragons beating the Warriors 30-12. We've both gone Warriors hard here. I've gone Warriors -5.5, which has not hit. And then you've trusted the bro, Watene Zalesniak, 2+ tries into Warriors 13+. He got one, but unfortunately, that was it, and the Warriors ended up getting a bad out.
Yeah, absolutely. $5.50 odds in that one. The Warriors didn't even look like they were going to. I thought maybe they would come back in this one or might sort of make it some sort of contest, but man, they just fell flat on their face there. And DWZ, He did come over once, which chalked up a couple of other bets for us. But yeah, they didn't look good on that edge at all.
Nah, they didn't. And another team that got cut to bits pretty easily as well was the Eels, going down to the Dolphins, 44-16. I've actually taken the Eels to cover a -6.5 line, so big miss there. And unfortunately, you've gone Asako anytime try scorer into Eels head-to-head as well, which is missed as well.
Yeah, exactly. That was $3.50 odds in that one. $3.40 odds in that one. Asako, he didn't even look like scoring the whole back line. They were cashing in all over it, and then the Eels fell very short of result in that one. So that was a shame to not get that one there.
And then one where we did go all right, though, was the Panthers beating the Tigers 22-6. I've gone Panthers 13+, so a late Fisher-Harris try has just got me over there. And you've had an absolute doozy in this one, because you've backed the boy Taruva 2+ tries in this game into Panthers -8.5, which has come through big time.
Yeah, $4 odds in that one. As soon as he crossed over, I believe it was for the first try, I was thinking, here we go, hopefully they just keep pounding that edge. And they are. That's if you're looking for money for jam, Panthers right edge. I mean, Nathan Cleary, he's going to come back into it and bolster it up this week. But yeah, that's the one where you want to be going.
Yeah, maybe Taruva 3+ tries with Cleary back in the fold. Who knows? Seagulls, your bird gang, they came through taking on the Titans 34-30, getting a close win. I've actually backed the Titans to cover that +8.5 line. So I've come through there. And you've gone oh so close to another big three doozy. You've had Trebojevic come in with an anytime, Kula come in with an anytime, Olakuatu come in with an anytime. But unfortunately, you've looked through some Seagulls tinted glasses and gone 13+, and that's what's done you dirty there.
Yeah, we're talking about that off air. The betting gods looking down on me, listening to me say I'm going to put another big three bet on with four legs in it, and they're not really understanding what's happening, and they're going to say I'm going to give you the first three of the leg, but we're not going to come home with the Manly 13+. They were scoring tries from everywhere. I thought maybe 10 minutes left to go, they could push this out a little bit, but fantastic punting from you. You stuck to your guns there with the Titans covering that plus. So, yeah, very good tipping from you on that one.
Thank you, thank you. One that was another good tip from me, Broncos beating the Raiders 34-10. It was kind of an easy one. I did say the Broncos would cover the -6.5 line. So they did that pretty early, and then Raiders kind of hung around against all odds. But Arthur's anytime try scorer into Raiders +8.5. Unfortunately, you just missed there. Reece Walsh, man, he was just a gun.
Yeah, he carved them up, man. I was sticking to my guns on this one, believing that the Raiders are a much better squad than what they are. Chevy Stewart, he had a very tough night at the back. It was almost looked like Adam Reynolds was out there the way that Jock Madden was putting those bombs up to him. And then, yeah, the Raiders just, they just got blown out. Jamal Fogarty, huge loss for them too.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to hurt them going forward. Something that doesn't hurt for the Doggies is a 36-12 win over the Knights. I've backed the Knights, unfortunately. I've gone Knights 1-12, which hasn't come through. And then you've hit, once again, another doozy. Adokar, anytime try scorer, into Bulls head-to-head. Great pick there.
Yeah, $3.25 odds on that one. Adokar looked fantastic last week. Him and Bronson Cherry out on that edge. While it's hot, you've got to grab it, and the Bulldogs have strung together a couple of close ones, and I thought, here we go, Ponga, a little bit grey in this one. We're not too sure what's going to end up happening with him. He ends up leaving due to injury anyway, and the Bulldogs, they just blow them out of the park.
Yeah, Doggies looking good, and another team where their left winger is looking very good is the Sharkies, because the Sharkies beat the Cowboys 42-6. I finally hit one of my Sunday double headers. I've gone Sharks -6.5. Into total points over 44.5, which the Sharks did the majority of that for me. So that's come through. And you've also hit another absolute doozy. Mulitalo, anytime try scorer. Valame, oh, no, mate, I think you just missed, actually.
Yeah, I did.
You've got everything else except for Valame, sorry.
Yeah, I did just miss in that one. I was hoping the Cowboys would string it together as they were chasing on that left edge. Holmes ended up going over, but they wouldn't go just one out. The Strawberry Bond thing wasn't going to throw the cutout ball for them. Yeah. So, yeah. Tough one there, but I mean, we ran pretty hot with that points over there. You got two squads like that. There's going to be points a plenty in that one, and the Sharks just managed to do it pretty much all themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Sharkies, for that. Repeat set bets. I've led us astray. I've said when you back the Warriors, good things happen. The last 2 weeks I've backed the Warriors are my only two repeat set bet fails. So I've gone non-greedy as well. Warriors head-to-head, which has failed. And then you've gone Watini Zalesniak anytime try scorer, so you're right on the money with him, but unfortunately you've also gone Warriors head-to-head. Yeah, tough goes in our repeat set bets. We're maybe picking a little too loyally. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm listening to you a little bit too much, and I'm staying too loyal to the Warriors in that one. I thought that one's an absolute sure thing. I juiced it up in my best bets, and then I pulled it back on the repeat set, so I held your hand a little bit too much in that one. We were skipping around. Yeah. Doing twirls while the Mad Dragon was thumping down on the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was actually a pretty credible person to listen to up until the last 2 weeks in terms of the repeat set bets, but damn, fell on flat on my face thanks to the Wires. So I'll forgive them. They're my team. I can live with that. Something that's less surprising that I missed is the 40-20 bet, which I've gone three legs here. Sharks -6.5, which did come through. Eels head-to-head, which did not come through. And then Toho, anytime try scorer, which I've gone the complete wrong side to you, so that didn't come through. And you have unfortunately hit with Taruva anytime try scorer, but Valame didn't come through. So one off again, very close you are getting.
Yeah, I mean, when Taruva went over, I thought we're in for a shoe-in here, come that Sharkies and Cows game. I thought there was going to be tries aplenty, but I did think that they were going to come from both teams in that one. I didn't think it was just going to be all Sharks traffic and over there. As for the collection after that round, we are actually, believe it or not, still in the green. That was a +4.25 unit collect from that. Obviously, the Taruva, Adokar, and Coates managed to get up, all the others coming down. So that takes our total to 62.4 units on the season. So win, win, win. It seems to be coming in. Even when we're not winning a lot, we're still winning a little. And you got to take those ones. And for the free tipping, recap on that, we staked 72 units and collected 75.4 on the week. So we had a small win there. We had our fourfold try scorer to start the week, which was DWZ, Taruva, Jason Saab, and Mulitalo. So we came through clutch on all of them, just on singles, on doubles, and on the fourfold. So if you want free NRL tips, along with a little bit of this, jump into that, because we are finding a little bit of success there. Now we're going to move into the headlines. So there's been a lot of noise on the Maroons' number one jersey. But what I wanted to talk to you about, Jordan, was our team, and that is the New South Wales number one jersey. Now we're going to get into a State of Origin corner after this, but I want to know who you think will be that number one for the Blues, and what I've got is a little game for you here. So I've got three players. I've got their season averages to start with. I want you to tell me which player you would prefer, and I'll let you know who they're going to be. So player one this season has 4 tries, 4 try assists, 36 tackle breaks, and is averaging 248 run meters. player two has 3 tries, 4 try assists, 31 tackle breaks, and is averaging 151 run meters. And player three has 5 tries, 6 try assists, 37 tackle breaks, but is averaging 163 run meters. So the try assists are all pretty similar. The try scoring vary a little bit, and the run meters, the one sticks out. So do you want to tell me who impressed you the most out of player one, two, and three?
Yeah, so the thing that sticks out to me the most is definitely the run meters. And I have an inkling just based on the run meters this guy usually gets throughout his games. Is number one Dylan Edwards?
Yeah, you're correct on that one.
Yep. Number two and three, they could be a couple other guys. I can't decide who is who, but are the other two, is Tommy Trbojevic the one with the most try assists and James Tedesco the second option?
No, they aren't. Ooh, James Tedesco is one.
Number one? With that many?
No, he isn't number one. James Tedesco is one of those options, though.
Oh, right. Sorry. Misheard. So Tedesco is the second guy. The third guy, sorry.
Tedesco's the second guy.
Oh, okay. And then the third guy isn't Tommy Trbojevic.
No, it's not.
Oh, who could it be? It's Ryan Pappenhausen. That's got to be the other contender, right?
It's not Ryan Pappenhausen.
Damn.
Out of those three players that I've given you, though, despite you've picked number one and you've picked number two, which player would you go for if you're just looking at the numbers?
I value exit meters very highly, so I am going to actually pick Dylan Edwards. I think the kicking games of Cherry Evans and Cameron Munster can really cause some problems to a back three, so I am actually going to say Dylan Edwards.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah, I like that. I was interested after the weekend because I thought these tallies might have been a little bit higher given the game that we had to end the last round, because player three is actually Scott Drinkwater. 5 tries, 6 try assists, and 37 tackle breaks. I thought had he crossed over for another try and slung a couple more try assists. When you're looking at numbers, I mean, obviously the exit meters is the big one for Dylan Edwards, but in terms of the play creation, the try scoring flair, the tackle breaks and everything, Scotty Drinkwater is in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So we will move into State of Origin corner now. What we're going to do as we lead up to State of Origin is we're going to go over our predictions for key positions, breaking them down and whatever, and who we would prefer to see out there. And what we're going to do is we're going to start off with the back three, and we're going to start with New South Wales. So, Jordan, do you want to give me your back three that you would like to see for New South Wales?
Okay, so New South Wales is a lot less clear-cut than Queensland. It's got a whole lot more depth in those positions than Queensland, and just not as clear and obvious answers. I think there will be change, though, with this new coach and a new team coming off a loss last year. I think there will be changes. It is time to make the change at the back, and that is why I'm going to be riding with Dylan Edwards as my number one. And then as for the wingers, this one was really strange. I did really value exit meters in my decision making. And then there was just one guy that I think has to be in there. I don't want him in a center position. I want him as like a pseudo winger fullback that can lurk around and be involved in play as well as play on his wing. And then maybe even swap with Dylan Edwards in certain positions. So I'm actually going to go one wing as Brian To'o and the other wing as Tommy Trbojevic. I know there's other guys like Ryan Pappenhausen, Scotty Drinkwater and stuff like that are in good contention. Latrell Mitchell has kind of been out with suspension and he hasn't been in the best form. Pappenhausen, still maybe just not the work rate that Dylan Edwards has and the consistency that Dylan Edwards has shown. And Drinkwater, I think he's just been exposed in the last couple of weeks for maybe not the safest set of hands under highball. So I am going with that back three. I wouldn't blame you if you took any combination of those other guys. Josh Adokar deserves mention as well. He's been in great form. But that's where I'm sticking with. I'm going to value exit meters to get us out of trouble when we're in the shit potentially.
Yeah, I like it. I agree with all of your points on that one. My left wing, I've got Brian To'o. I agree with you 100% in terms of exit meters. He's someone that proves every single year his value in Origin, just in terms of roll your sleeves up and get the hard yards, get moving forward. He's always reliable under the high ball, and he's always great for a carry. I agree with you again on Dylan Edwards. I think he's been absolutely fantastic this season. He's looked absolutely solid. He's a workhorse. I think there is enough attacking flair in the New South Wales squad now that you can rely on a guy that's going to play in a system to fit that. And I want to see him there. And for my right wing, now we've talked about meter eaters. We've talked about safe at the back, but we need a little bit of spark. And he is the in-form player, I reckon, of the competition right now, and that's Zach Lomax. I want to see him in that starting right wing spot. I think he deserves first chance at it.
Okay, I don't hate it. I don't hate it because it does need to be shifted up, shifted around. We do need to start giving these athletes that are in great form some opportunity. And look what's happened when we have given those sort of fringe players opportunities. We gave Moses an opportunity, we gave Best an opportunity, and they played outstanding in that Blues jersey. So I don't like us taking a risk, especially when it's not clear cut. So Zach Lomax, I like the pick.
Yeah, and we're going to move into the Queensland squad now. And this is where the kind of debate comes in terms of a few picks that I've got that kind of support Zach Lomax when you look at the aerial threats that Queensland have in their back three as well. So, Jordan, do you want to take me through your Queensland back three?
This one has been pretty clear cut for me. It didn't give me as many headaches. I think with Kalyn Ponga going down, I think it's now clear that Reece Walsh is the guy to be at the back. Hammer has also been great as well, but he's carrying a bit of an injury and he has shown that he plays very well at centre and can defend at a high level in that position. So we'll keep him there in the centres. The wingers, I think, are clear cut as well. I love them defensively. That's why they're getting priority in this one. Both Murray Taulagi and Xavier Coates have been in great defensive form to start the year. Murray Taulagi maybe not as much, making some mistakes, but we've seen him in Origin and he has been great on that aspect. And Xavier Coates is honestly one of the best wingers in the competition this year. So those are that's the back three I'm rocking with. Not too much in the ways of depth. I see Brimson's been kind of showing his skills. Philip Sami is always there as well. I don't think he'll make it. But yeah, that's the back three I'm rocking with. Reece Walsh, Murray Taulagi, and Xavier Coates.
Yeah, I like it. And I agree with you again on two here. Xavier Coates on that left wing has been absolutely outstanding for the Storm. He's such an aerial threat. And he's been really safe on defense this season as well. Reece Walsh, like you said, I mean, it's clear cut for us now with the Ponga injury. Walsh is going to get first crack. I would have actually favoured him in this one. I think just the form that he has at the moment, just the hunger and the way that he attacks and goes after it as well. He's been super impressive. But my right wing spot, we talk about all the injuries that are happening. We talk about rotational players and that. And he's found a lot of form for the Brisbane Broncos in the left centre role. But I want to see him back on the right wing come State of Origin time, and that's Selwyn Cobbo. He did a jobby for them a couple of years ago when he started the series. His return meters is always fantastic as well. But he just provides a different aerial threat, a little bit of flair, and he's a player that can rotate and cover a lot of injury or potential injury spots as well. So that's what I'd like to see them roll with come Origin time.
Honestly, he's been playing so much centre this year that I actually kind of forgot about him. So that is a great pick. I would not hate that at all. He's a big body. He can probably defend. He's a smart guy, a smart player. He can make reads on defense. Love the pick.
Yeah, I feel like there might be some of those rotations. Again, you always see it in Origin, eh? You always see these fullbacks playing centers or centers shift out to wing spots. And Billy's going to have to try and come up with something a little bit different this year, I think, for Queensland. I mean, when it's going good, it's going good. But I feel like he'll attack this one a little bit different. It'll be interesting to see what selection changes he makes.
Let's just hope that if we play Zach Lomax on the wing, he doesn't want to leave and go play for Queensland and put him at centre.
yeah, agreed. Now we've got two listed questions in this one. The first one comes from Tate. He's a good friend of the show and a friend of us in the under 85 division at the moment. Now, Tate wants to know who wins it out of me and you in a run it straight challenge.
Oh, mate, you're throwing me to the wolves. I just watched a game in the weekend where some winger came straight on a hard line and you flattened him. And I've got a bung leg, bung shoulder, so you're throwing me to the wolves, man. I think you got this one.
I was giving you a lot more credibility in that one. I was going to say, I'd actually rather not have you run at me. You've run at me a couple of times at training and I give you a lot of credit on that one. But all full health, full noise, what do you reckon? Do you reckon you got me?
Honestly, I don't think you'll be able to put a hit on me as clean as you did that guy. I'm actually seem quite hard to tackle. I can remember only being hit once last year by a Massey guy, and I run a whole lot of downline, so that's a good strike rate. But, man, it's tough to see. I love being on your team as opposed to running against you, so we'll just keep it at that.
Good answer. The second one, this comes in from Sam Branks, best friend of the show. Love you, Sammy. Now, what he wants to know is our 17 pick for New South Wales and for Queensland. Now, when he asked this question, he also wanted to highlight that he wants to know this position, or what we're predicting for this position, just due to all the injuries that we're suffering at the moment. We see Caleb Ponga, obviously we see Fogarty, the shock bicep that happened throughout the game. And we see injuries like this that pop up in State of Origin as well. Queensland managed to always juggle that. Ben Hunt is a big factor in that one. But New South Wales always seem to be in their heads on sort of how they pick their roster to fit this. So I'll go first in this one. For me, New South Wales in the number 17 jersey this year, I think we're actually going to see Matt Burden. He's a guy that can cover multiple positions in terms of in your halves. He could potentially do a jobby somewhere in the middle there, and he's also a centre option. I think Stephen Crichton's going to be in there, and I do think Nico Hines will end up getting that 5-8 role. Now, what happens if there's an injury sort of at fullback or something like that? I can see Nico shifting to that fullback position. Burden can come in there. If there's something in the centres, he can obviously slot straight in, and they can rotate a lot more around him. And then the form that he's had at the moment, I think, could potentially break a game open if you're going to bring him in for his kicking ability or just down that left edge, depending on what they end up going with or how you want to rotate this thing. So I think Matt Burden might get first chance at that 17 jersey for New South Wales. As for Queensland, I'm going to be looking someone like Fodawaker, potentially Jai Arrow, now that he's back. And Queensland is just a different sort of animal. They've had a lot of injuries this year, obviously with Tino and Payne, with Tino, the likes of Ruben Cotter and the boys in the middle there, they'll be worked hard in this one with the likes of Payne Haas. Paddy Carrigan's having to do a big job this year, picking up the slack from him. So I think they'll bolster their bench. And the reason why that is they've obviously got Ben Hunt and they've got Harry Grant. Ben Hunt can cover multiple positions. Cammy Munster, he will get that 5-8 role, but he's obviously carrying a groin injury at the moment. Ben Hunt can slot back out into that half position and cover there. And that rotation, they've got the luxury of it all. When you've got a hooker that can start in State of Origin and can play a very top quality game in the halves for them as a replacement as well, they've got the luck of the draw on that one. So I think for Queensland, they're going to bolster their bench with an extra forward, whether it be someone through the middle or someone on the edge that might be able to sort of break it open a little bit for them. But that's where I'm going with mine.
Yeah, I mean, those are perfect answers. I think for New South Wales, you've actually picked a really good one with Matt Burden, because I do think with them probably going with some pure hookers and Robson and Coruscant, you may want a versatile guy who can play both pretty much anywhere in the back line if an injury were to happen. So I like that pick. Maybe based on that criteria, I would think of someone like he hasn't been in the most amazing form, mostly because he's been in and out on the bench and getting used to a new role. But someone like a Siosifa Talakai, he would fit that role as well, because he can play both as a forward, come on and do good forward minutes, and then cover injuries in your centres and maybe push other guys that you'd be having out of positions, like Turbo maybe in the centres could push to wing or fullback and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of players in our New South Wales backline that we can push and shuffle elsewhere. So I think it's maybe just up to picking a versatile backline and then maybe having that half centre, half forward thing at number 17. So maybe Talakai by proxy. I'll try to think of a better one maybe next week or something. But he's the first one that comes to mind. I know he probably has he's pulled himself out of Origin contention, right? Jack Whiten, but he's another one that could do that job pretty well.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. He pulled himself out last year, whether he wants to put himself back in the mixer this year. But I agree with it. It's a very good pickup. He's someone that can play anywhere. He can go and play in the middle. He can provide impact off it, and he can do a job at centre as well.
And then someone that is also in the Rabbitohs, seeing how they come back after their injury, is Campbell Graham. He'd be able to do a similar role as well. He's a big boy. If shit really hits the fan, he may be able to play second row, maybe, because he is quite a big dude and a great defender. So we've got options there in terms of utilities. In terms of Queensland, I totally agree with you. they've got versatility already in there with Ben Hunt probably going to be starting at hooker, and then they'll have Harry Grant coming off the bench. And then, you know, they don't need to structure their bench in a way to cover losses in the backs potentially, because they've got those guys already. They'll just need someone like a Fotowaker. I think Fotowaker is good enough. He can do the job. I'd like to see him at 17 as maybe another prop forward to cover in the interchange, or also Jai Arrow. So I like your picks, basically. I agree with what you've said for Queensland.
Yeah. I mean, the one that first came to mind is obviously Tommy Dearden. He played that number 17 role, I think it was in game one or game two last year for Queensland. Just whether Munster is a little bit too shaky in camp and they do just want to go straight swap and not sort of shake up too much in the middle there. But Harry Grant, he's ready to potentially even play a full game in the middle there as well. So I do like them having that rotational ability. But it is going to be interesting to see how these, we go through and we talk about all of these starting roles and how that's going to play. But how they structure their benches is ultimately going to sort of determine how the series played out with the injuries that have been going on lately.
17-man game. I think we saw a perfect example of it with the Dragons and the Warriors. Mm. Warriors a little thin on the bench. Dragons, you know, put in their bomb squad and look what happens. So 17-man game, especially at that level.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now, TVC, power play of the round. For me this week, I wanted to piggyback on your one a little bit. I thought Luke Brooks also, he got a fantastic shot on the weekend, but I'm going down your route. I don't like, again, highlighting plays in a losing affair, but it is the Dallin Watene Zalesniak try against the Dragons. It's kind of a tin ass and shit sort of power play, but things like this get overshadowed in a loss, and especially the type of loss that it was. But the way that he finishes tries, absolutely exceptional. I think this was actually one of his best in this one. The body control, the timing of it all, but this, the control over the ball in the right hand as well. He's being piled over into touch. He's mid-air. He's got guys on his back, guys on his side, guys on his forearm, but he's managing to still get it clean. The point, he's not even putting the ball down, straight down on the ground. He's always got a point on it. So if it is close to the line, it's just touching the grass before we're going out. But DWZ, man, you could have power play of the round almost every single week with the way that you score these tries. I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that down to a fine art, man. It's got to be out of him and Xavier Coates for the best finishers in the whole NRL, because the way they can contort their bodies and put the ball down in just literally inches of space while getting tackled with a big, you know, 100-kilo dude on top of them, man, it's super impressive. So, shout out the Warriors. We still find a way to highlight you, even in a loss. I know I said that thing about not liking to highlight losing teams and their efforts, but I've done it as well, because I'm going Kieran Foran's banana kick try assist to AJ Brimson, because, man, growing up, I was a big Carlos Spencer fan, and he was known for his flair and his, you know, wild kicking techniques that led to tries. And one of his favorites was the banana kick. So Kieran Foran really dipped in the bag of his King Carlos bag, done the banana kick perfectly on the spot, because AJ Brimson didn't even have to really break stride, and full sprint jumped, caught the ball to score the try, and an amazing try. So shout out Kieran Foran. I always give him stick for being perhaps the slowest back in the whole NRL, but he's still crafty, man, and he's still got some veteran tricks that can, you know, spark a game and get cool tries like that. So banana kick, good to see it come back.
Yeah, I like it. And again, I like that you're highlighting another famous Manly player up against his old team, putting in that special Manly touch as well with the door. But yeah, fantastic. The take from Brimo was just fucking top class. That guy has just got flair on the next level. It's fantastic. It's a shame. The Titans have got all these guys that can just break a game wide open, yeah, like that. They just can't seem to consistently put it into some sort of structure. Performances of the round, though. I'm going Isaiah Katoa from the Dolphins, 44-16 victory over the Eels. In this game, he finished with 3 try assists, 4 line break assists, 114 run meters, and 477 kick meters. His kicking game has gone to a whole new level this year, and the bangs that he's putting in on the defensive end have been fantastic, and he's just developing at a rapid rate. There was no hammer in this one, and Katoa was the guy that just completely stood up in here. And it just gets me thinking, you've got Jerome Luai that's moving on from the Panthers next year, Imagine if this guy was still at Penrith and taking over that position next year.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of fumbled by letting him go to the Dolphins. He has been outstanding, man. He's taking another leap. He is playing with so much confidence, so much control of the game. His kicking is on point. Like, he's averaging over like 400 kicking meters a game, and they're all perfect kicks, deep into the territory and contestable. And then he's just got the confidence that he didn't have last year to play some eyes up footy and like have a go and take some chances. And there were some real chances that he created this weekend and blew the Eels out and probably like 40 points in the second half. So Isaiah Katoa has been outstanding, man. In terms of my performance, I've gone a little bit eat-ass. I've gone with a full team because on the Friday night, I was watching the Warriors and I was a little bit drunk and I was watching them and it was just more rage more than anything and just depression over why they got destroyed by the Dragons and couldn't really evaluate what I was watching. But I watched it the next day and I was like, holy shit, this was an incredible performance from the St. George Illawarra Dragons. And I saw something from them that I haven't seen for a couple of years now. And that was some fucking pride in the jersey. They actually showed some great pride in the jersey. The start of this game looked like business as usual. Warriors rolling yardage, going up and down the field, and then scoring with Sean Johnson going untouched in like the first 10 minutes. And you thought, okay, here we go. The Warriors are going to roll them here. But then they came down and they got stopped. And then they came down again and got stopped again and stopped again and stopped again. And you saw them defensively scrambling and stopping this vaunted Warriors shape and not allowing them to get through. Then you start realizing, oh my God, the Dragons are kind of showing up here on defense. And you look at the numbers, Eisenhuth, 56 tackles, Faitala Mariner, 43 tackles, Little, 40 tackles, Saleh, 36 tackles. Flanagan, I thought, was real good on defense, 15 tackles, only two missed for a small guy. And you know how the Warriors like to use Sean Johnson and his, whoever his second roller is, to target the half's channel. So he did a really good job there. And then, although they were under a lot of pressure, their exit sets were really strong and direct. Their back three was causing rampages on their exit sets. Their second rowers that started were doing really well and running very direct. And, you know, they played outstanding if you look at their run meters. Suli, 145 run meters. Lomax, 184. Ravalau, 159. And Sora, 125 run meters. And just as those guys got tired, we saw Flanagan's genius in taking some of their stalwarts to the bench that we highlighted last week and had them come on with DeBellin, Lowry and Murdoch Masala, who came on straight away and caused havoc. And then off the back of Ben Hunt, keeping that pace and keeping the play high and taking the ball to the line, the Warriors broke open. And a lot of people say, like, at the back end of the first half that the penalties were kind of high against the Warriors. But I think because of how direct and hard they were running, those penalties were well earned and they were getting up and making quick play of the balls. And the Warriors just couldn't hang with the pace. And then, you know, the floodgates kind of opened. Suli try, Ravalawa try, Hunt try, Lomax, two-point drop goal, Lomax try where he caught the ball on the full. And then, unfortunately to say, it is the first sign of frustration in that second half that we saw from the Warriors. And you saw, like, Johnson chirping at some of his teammates, and you saw it start to disintegrate. And then the final cherry on top was them messing it up in their strike zone, Tyrell Sloan picking it up, running 85 meters downfield, fending off Dallin Watene-Zalesniak and putting the cherry on the cakes for the Dragons. So I just wanted to highlight them as a team because this was an outstanding performance. It's a performance that I think shows that they might be turning a corner. I got to shout out Flanagan for that because I didn't have much faith in this Dragons team. I thought they were just going to be the same old as the years prior. But this looks very different to me, and I love what he's done with the bench coming on with DeBellin, Lowry, and Murdoch Masala. And I love what the starting team is playing like, and I like Ben Hunt being in an actual good team for once. So shout out the Dragons. Very impressive.
You've put it all perfectly, mate. And you're talking about pride in the jersey. Tyrell Sloan on his way to the try line there. Normally when they get a runaway like that, they'll maybe put their finger up in the air and celebrate or something like that. He grabbed the logo. He's looking at the logo the whole time. So he's got pride in that jersey. They've been absolutely fantastic, man. The Dragons, the Bulldogs, and the Tigers. The tide's kind of shifting. There's a lot of respect being shown from players playing in that jersey now. You're not seeing that rollover kind of thing happen all the time. It's been very, very impressive. Now we're going to move into the Dally M Ladd point collections for the week. So do you want to take us away on this one, Jordan? This is where we give 1 point, 2 point, and 3 points to each player, to a player from each round, and we're going to tally them up and figure out who the Dally M Ladd of the year is going to be at the end of the season.
Yeah, Yeah, so some great performances this week. Starting off with 1 point, we're giving it to the guy you highlighted before, Isaiah Katoa. He is taking a leap this year, and he played outstanding. 114 run meters, 4 line break assists, 3 try assists, 477 kick meters. So some real video game numbers there by Isaiah Katoa in a great dominant performance over the Eels. 2 points, I kind of highlighted him before as well. It was Benny Hunt, man. He was the finishing touch on a great team performance. He helped them get over the line on a lot of occasions. 1 try, he got over the line himself. 61 run meters, 1 line break, 2 line break assists, 3 try assists, 3 tackle breaks, 1 offload, and a monstrous 624 kick meters against a Warriors team that kind of probably won the territory battle, but it shows how handy his boot is at getting the Dragons out of trouble and getting them the opportunities themselves. So shout out Ben Hunt with the 2 points. And then finally, 3 points. Reese Lightning, whatever you want to call him. Reese Walsh, absolutely outstanding again. The most dangerous player in the league, one of at least. 18 points, 2 tries, 199 run meters, 3 line breaks, 6 tackle breaks, and 224 kicking meters as well. So he put his boots on and he said, I'll do a bit of that too, with Adam Reynolds being out. And just so outstanding, so dangerous, and cut the Raiders to bits in that first half. Well-deserved of our 3 points for Dally M Lad of the Year.
Yeah, everyone talks about him being the poster boy of the NRL. That dude's got some pretty cold posters for post-try celebrations. He's got the backflip ones that he does. He's got the ones, I think it was against the Dolphins, where he's standing there with his arms crossed afterwards as well. He's got the Origin ones. And in this one, he hits the little shush as well. He's got some pretty cool photos come post-try celebration, Reece Walsh. We're going to move into Grub of the Week. Now, we've got a bit of a doozy this one. Heatherington and Reed Marnie. Bit of push and shove on the field. They both get sent for it. Now, Jack Heatherington, he goes first. And he does the cheeky little thing. He'll walk down the tunnel and he just sort of pokes himself off to the edge and he just waits for little Reed. Reed's walking down the tunnel. Then all of a sudden you see Jack come out and he's put his hands up, having a little dance around, having a little laugh. And then Reed gets a little bit closer. He gives him a little push and looks to sort of size him up with a jab. You could see the eyes and you could see the smile. And then as soon as he hit him with the push, they just completely went. And Reed Marnie, you could almost see his nuts drop on the ground just then in front of him because Jack had absolutely come out for it. He's ended up copping a fine and a 1-game ban for it. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was the sort of camaraderie, well, not camaraderie, the sort of the gimmick around it all, the way it sort of all happened. He's actually waited for him in the sheds. He's going to come out and he's given him a little push for it. If you're going to do that shit, though, do it out on the field. Give him a little whack or something like that because you just got yourself a fine, a 1-game ban, and you're just doing stupid shit like that where you're just going to wait behind the sheds, wait up the tunnel for the bloke. Do it out on the field with your mates or something like that. Or go and do it in the ring and focus on playing your footy because it was a fucking grubby move from Jack Heatherington because, I mean, he's got a lot on him. He's a big bloke. Reed Marnie was going down. Yeah, not a fair fight.
Nah, I don't think they'd be in the same weight class if you were to get them in the ring. There might be a few divisions between them. But speaking of ring, Jack Heatherington was kind of like bouncing on his feet, you know? He was ready for something when Reed came down the tunnel. I don't know. The way he was bouncing on his feet makes me think that he wasn't actually seriously going to try fight him. He was just going to, you know, give him a little push and...
It was all gimmicky, eh? And you could see it all. And then he came closer and he gave him a push. I don't know if when he pushed him, he was waiting for something to come back at him, but he kind of just saw what I expected from him and just hightailed it back from that. I'm just wondering if he listened to our show last week and just wanted to prove his potential for the BMF title.
Yeah, apparently Phil Gould, I saw a TikTok of him today talking about Jake Heatherington, and apparently he's a bit of a goer. Like he's not afraid to get in the ring and tussle with actual boxers, and he's not afraid to get into a bit of street fights with 4 or more guys outside of training. So Jake Heatherington, man, if you want to get BMF, you're doing the right things.
Yeah, pretty funny. Grubby move, though. You've cut yourself a 1-game ban, so you've lost your spot, and you got a doozy fine as well. And you didn't even take a swing at the bloke. At least do it out on the field.
GMF. He can be the GMF.
Now we're going to move into the round 8 prediction preview. So all of these odds, as always, are accurate as of Tuesday at 6 p.m. And we are kicking it off. I mean, normally we sit here and we're kicking it off with the Roosters. We're kicking it off with the Storm. We're kicking it off with the Panthers. But no, the Warriors, they take on the Titans at Go Media Stadium. The Warriors, they are $1.25 favorites in this one. The Titans are $4 underdogs, and the line is sitting at a juicy 11.5. For the Warriors, Kurt Capewell, he's missing this one due to a throat injury that he suffered against the Dragons. Jacob Laban, he replaces him, and Walker, Dylan Walker, he will return from injury on the bench. As for the Titans, Des Hasler, he's sticking to the same 17 that pushed Manly all the way at the end last week. Now, this is the 33rd meeting between the Warriors and the Titans. The Warriors have won 20 and the Titans have won 12. The Titans are still yet to get a win this season, while the Warriors come into this with a win, a draw, and a loss over their last three games. The Titans, they have a 31% win percentage at Go Media, and they have won 4 of their last 13 games here. So, Juju, on the other side of it in this one, they did win the most recent meeting between them at this ground, but that was in 2022, round 25, by 1 point, and that was an absolute shocking season for us. Before that, they have not beaten us here since 2015. The Titans, they concede an average of 30 points per game this season. Do think that we will be up for the bounce back in this one. We're going to want to put them in the Hurt Locker on Anzac Day after so many of those years in the past go the other way for us up against the Storm. We'll be wanting to write our own Anzac sort of remembrance on the Titans in this one. I think the Warriors win.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. I have to back the Warriors to get the bounce back in this one. They won the last game 28-18 last year, and Warriors have only lost one game at home this year, and like you highlighted, Titans' worst defense in the comp, 30 points per game. And, you know, although the Warriors struggled last week, we still, you know, play with some fantastic shape and have great strike ability. So I don't think that's an omen of us kind of falling off attack-wise. And it's not going to be here against the Titans, who, you know, can't seem to stop my grandma from scoring. So Titans still get bullied to the territorial as well. Warriors still showed they have that last week. It's got to be the Warriors, man. If we don't win this, there's going to be some pretty big alarm bells ringing in my head, honestly, because we should get this done against a Titans team that is missing a few key players. Warriors 13+, $1.83. I'm going to back them to get it done.
Good value there. Well, Jordan, if Nanatana played fullback, she would score a try in this one. The Titans have conceded 9 tries to fullbacks in total this season. Turbo had a double last week, and I'm backing Chance here in this one. Through the middle or on the edge, partner that up with the Warriors to win at $3.60. Now the Dragons, they take on the Roosters. Take on the Roosters at Allianz Stadium. I've got you giggling still in the background there. Roosters, they are $1.50 favorites in this one. The Dragons are $2.60 underdogs, with the line sitting at 5.5. So a lot of respect being shown on the Dragons as of late. The Roosters, Dom Young, Sammy Walker, he returns. Suoliti returns to the centres, which sees Jennings drop out of the 17 and Connor Watson moves to the bench. The Dragons, no changes to the side that took down the Warriors last weekend. The Dragons with 4 wins on the season and the Roosters with just 3. A little bit of a weird one. Get your head around that one. The Dragons have a 40% win rate though here. And the last 4 games between these two sides have been split at 2 apiece. I've been really disappointed by the Roosters, but I've been really impressed by the Dragons, and I really want to back them in this one. But I think with the return of Sammy Walker and the return of Dom Young, even though he had an absolute shocker up against the Bulldogs before he suffered his suspension, continued with bench press after that, I think it's going to be big ins for the Chooks in that one. And that's why I'm going to take them, but I do think the Dragons will push them here.
Yeah, so we always complain about the first game on a Thursday being pretty tough. And although this isn't the first game on a Thursday, it is still a Thursday game. And this is a tough game to pick because you look at the line being at +5.5. Both games last year were within the line and they split them. So the Roosters won 27-26 and the Dragons won 24-22. Both teams seem stronger since then as well. Like they've made some key additions to their squads that make them just that much more better. And the Dragons obviously have looked a lot better this year already. And at full strength, both teams are very physical with a lot of depth in their forward pack. And they both have very physical athletic backs as well with Suli and Lomax and then Suoliti and Manu on the other side. So very even matchup style-wise. I'm just going to put it down to this. The Dragons seem to be turning a corner. They've won 3 of their last 4, while the Roosters have lost three of their last 4. So, man, I expect a really close game. I could easily see the Roosters winning this game because they seem to be like the Dragons structure-wise, but just a little bit tick up with some of their talent. But based on what I've seen and based on the momentum of the Dragons, I'm going to have a crack with that Dragons plus 5.5 line at $1.90. I think I'm just going to take them as underdogs based off what I saw last week.
Yeah, nice. My best bet for this one, again, if Nanatana was playing at fullback in this one, James Tedesco, he's scored 5 tries in his last 3 games against the Dragons, and the Dragons have given up a total of 5 tries this season to opposing fullbacks. I'm going to go James Tedesco, anytime try scorer, into the Dragons at a plus 13.5. That'll give you $4.25. Now the Storm, they take on the Bunnies at Amy Park. The Storm are rightfully $1.23 favourites in this one. The Rabbitohs are $4.20 underdogs with the line sitting at 12.5. The Storm are unchanged. Big Nelson, he continues to start for them. Welsh, he'll come off the pine. For the Rabbitohs, though, Damian Cook, he's been recalled into the starting hooker position. Mamozelos, he moves back to the bench. Jai Arrow has been named to return from his shoulder injury. And Gagai comes in to replace the injured Tyrone Munro also. Now, buckle up for this one. The Rabbitohs come into this 1-6 on the season, while the Storm come into this having lost only 1 game this year and remain unbeaten at home. The Storm have won 14 consecutive home games. The Rabbitohs have an 0-11 record at Amy Park. They have a 0% win rate here. 0-11. They have won 2 of the last 3 games against the Storm, however. I can't ignore those stats. The Bunnies season, the Storm's win rate at home this season combined with last season, at home on Anzac Day, the Storm win and the Storm win well.
Yeah, I fully agree. I know it's a really big line and the Storm are at very low odds at $1.22. I still think it's good value just based on what I've seen from both teams. They split these games last year against a full-strength Rabbits and even won a game with no Paps or Hughes, 18-10. And Melbourne are now at full strength, the most full strength they've ever been in this, you know, run since 2020. And the Rabbitohs are missing Latrell, Alex Johnson, Campbell Graham, and Totola. And all of the Rabbitohs' losses, they haven't come within 10 points. So they've been doing it really bad at the moment. Storm have won all of their games close, but they've shown danger signs, and they have the potential to cut teams to bits with their lethal spine. Jerome Hughes has been in outstanding form. He's kind of been the hero of the spine, even with all those star players in there. So I see the Storm doing a jobby on them. The only thing that has looked strong for the Rabbitohs has been their forwards at times, and Totola was a big part of that. So they're actually going to miss him in the front row there. I'm going the Storm. I'm going 13+ at $1.91. I think it's easy money, really.
Yeah, I agree. My best bet for this game, Bunnies left edge. I harp on about this each week. It's been absolutely awful. The combination between Hughes and Katoa has been absolutely exceptional this season. I think Warbrick's due in this one, but I've gone for a little bit more value. I'm going to take Katoa anytime into the Storm to win at $3.75. Manly, they take on the Eels at Four Pines Park. Manly are $1.33 favourites in this. The Eels are $3.35 underdogs with the line sitting at 8.5. For Manly, LOA, he returns from suspension, which pushes Matt Lodge to the bench. And Nathan Brown, he's also back on deck in this one. Hopefully he does end up playing. For the Eels, Ethan Sanders will make his NRL debut as they play musical chairs with a 5'8 role. He'll replace Dejon Arce. Mike Siva, he's been recalled back into the squad to replace Sean Russell. Now, Manly, they have a 61% win rate here at Four Pines Park. The Eels have a 31% win rate here as well. The Eels, they have won 4 of their last 5 games against Manly. My concern, though, for Manly is just how easy they're conceding points this season. Scoring them for them, very, very easy. But they're actually conceding a total of 20 points per game this season. I think Manly will win this one. But I'm glad that the Eels are coming into this a little bit under strength. I think had they had Mitch Moses and Brown back at the 5'8 role, might have been a little bit tighter. But I think they'll get the job done here.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to see Eagles as well in this one. It's weirdly close to give a rematch. It feels like not even that long ago that they played the first time this season. But the Eels have actually won that game 28-24 after getting cut up early and then coming back. But that is a game where they had Moses, and Moses was a pretty integral part of that comeback and rallying the Eels back into the game. And the Seagulls come into this one at full strength and are still looking pretty dangerous on attack. And we saw what the Dolphins were able to do to the Eels last week in the second half onslaught. And I know there's still question marks over the Seagulls' defense, but the Eels, without Moses, have averaged 16.8 points per game, which is not very good at all. So I'm going to back that the Seagulls can pour on the points and that the Eels will struggle to get their own and that the Seagulls will win this one comfortably at Four Pines, which is a bit of a fortress. They know how to win at Four Pines. I say the Seagulls will get this one done, 13-plus at $2.25.
Nice. My best bet for this game, I had that locked in earlier, but once I saw the team list, I had a hard-on for Big Homoli coming up against a dude on his NRL debut. That's some jam there for this one. But Jack Bostock, he had a field day on the Eels' right edge last week, and I think that's where they'll go down early. So I've got Tommy Talau anytime into Manly to win, and that's at $2.70. Now the Tigers, they take on the Broncos at Campbelltown. Now the Broncos are $1.20 favourites in this one. Tigers are $4.50 underdogs and the line sits at 13.5. Man, for the Broncos, Payne Haas is back. Reynolds returns. Brendan Piakura has returned. Ezra Mam, though, he's been ruled out with finger issues. Salwyn Cobber has been ruled out with shoulder problems. Madden, he moves from halfback to the 5-8 position. Dean Mariner, he returns onto the wing, which pushes Jesse Arthurs into that left centre role for Salwyn Cobber. So you've got a lot of juggling up, a lot of pieces on the move. But obviously the big one in that is Adam Reynolds returning and big pain in my ass, Haas. He is back for them. For the Tigers, though, Solomon Alomainu, he makes his NRL debut on the wing to replace Junior Tupou. I'm really looking forward to this one. Exceptional yeah. Union player. It's going to be interesting to see what flair he brings in this. And Bateman, he shifts into lock and Finau moves to the edge to replace him. So the 33rd meeting here between the Tigers, between these two, the Tigers, they have won 9. The Broncos have won 22 and there's been 1 draw. There's a 40% win rate here for the Tigers and the Broncos. They have only lost 1 game here. 7 from 8 record for them. Now, alrighty, Jordan, are you ready? The Tigers have won 4 of their last 5 games against the Broncos, and 3 of those have been by a 13-plus margin. The Broncos, I think, win this, but when I see Juju like this, it gets me a little bit worried.
Yeah, that is the ultimate Juju. That is Smith-Schuster Juju. That is that is very interesting, but I am going to stick with the Broncos because they've been on a roll, man. I love what I see from the Broncos, and although they lose key players in Mam and Cobbo, I think they gain even more key players, if that's possible, in Reynolds, Haas, and Piakura. So they've been ticking along, even with all these people coming in and out of the squad, and they've been looking fantastic. They won the last meeting, 46-12, so I can kind of hang my hat on that. The Broncos have kind of exploded in the last 2 years. And even though the Tigers have been better this year, they play gritty defense and have a strong pack, but they're only averaging 12.8 points per game in their last 4 games with poor last-pass execution and missed opportunities, which is kind of just letting them down. And they come up against the Broncos, who have averaged 33 points per game in their last 4. So I don't think being gritty and trying hard is going to cut it against the Broncos team that is kind of rolling and looking like a top-4 contender. So I am going to back the Broncos 13-plus at $1.91. I don't like the juju you've just told me, but I'm going to leave it to the side and hope the Broncos with Reynolds, with Haas, and with Piakura can get it done.
Yeah, I agree. We're pushing Juju to the side here. Now, yep. I'm hoping that the betting gods look down on me and realize that I've learned from my mistakes and I'm going for another big 3. We're going for it here. We're going for the big 3. We're going for Reece Walsh, anytime try scorer. Dean Mariner, he comes in onto the right wing. We're going him, anytime try scorer. And what I'm doing is I'm going hunting. I'm going hunting for a stag. Katoni Staggs, all 3 of them here. Reece Walsh, Dean Mariner, Katoni Staggs, all anytime, $10 odds. Very, very juicy. Now the Cowboys, they take on the Panthers at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. The Panthers are $1.33 favourites in this one. The Cowboys are $3.35 underdogs and the line sits at 9.5. No real changes to the squad here that got absolutely pumped by the Sharks. Griffin Neame, he replaces Taumalolo at prop, which is also Thomas McKaylee. He moves in as the new face on the bench for them. The Panthers, sheesh, Nathan Cleary, the chin, returns for his first game since round 3. Dylan Edwards has been named despite the injury to him and Nick Tack-May. He returns to the centre spot. I thought Paul Alamonte did a fantastic job on debut for them. Yep. I think maybe depending on the head or where the Sunia Taruva signing goes, I think you could potentially see Taylor May shift out to that left or back onto that left wing spot, To'o back to the right, And I think Paul Alamotti would do an absolute jobby in there. So whether they're potentially preparing for the future, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. But yeah, he looked fantastic. The Cowboys, they have a 55% win rate at home here, while the Panthers have a 25% win rate. They have only won one of their five games at Queensland Country Bank. The Cowboys have also won two of their last three games against the Panthers. Now, I am not backing them here. I said last week, like you said to the Finns, show me something. They didn't even make it competitive. I'm done with the Cowboys. I might revisit them later in the year. Penrith, I think they will get the job done. Whether it's a good one, whether it's an absolute flogging, whether it's a competitive, tight, nitty affair, they're going to walk out of there with the win. Cowboys, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. And just like you, we done with the Cowboys, okay? We done with them. The Panthers, I am going to be backing them here. They did destroy them in their last meeting, 44-12, and that was without Luai and Kenny. So both teams are coming into this one at full strength, which for the Panthers is a really good thing, because full strength Panthers, we've seen what they can do. That's just three premierships. That's all they can do. And they're still looking like a great defensive team, and we're looking like comp favorites before Cleary went down initially, and now he's back. So very good juju there for the Panthers. Same old shit with the Cowboys. I'm done with them too, man. A dangerous and explosive team on attack. A good team to watch when they're at their best, but a team that can't control territory on defense at all and can get cut up on the edges very easily. The Sharks completed at 90%, I believe, last week and cut them up. And the Panthers, kind of their forte is high completion and strike when Cleary is there in the strike zone. So I think the Panthers will get the jobby done. I've gone -9.5 at $1.85 because, once again, I can be a coward at times. I just worry that the Cowboys may be able to score points in bunches throughout the match, because they do have a strong attack, but they don't have a strong defense. And that's where the Panthers are at their best, on defense, and their attack's going to light it up with Cleary back. I'm back in the line.
Nice. I like it. Now, my best bet for this game, the Cowboys, simple math, they conceded a lot of points last week. There's a dude that leads the competition and tries in this team, and that is Sunia Taruva. He had two last week. How can you not ignore that? But I wasn't too happy with the odds in this one. And there's, I don't know if it's just because of his hair, but there's your little friend, this little strawberry blonde thing that just keeps running around on that Cowboys side. Just shit seems to happen with him right now. He scored, I think it was a try in the first 3 weeks. He hasn't had one for a little bit. I think he's due. I'm going Sunia Taruva, anytime try scorer, into Tom Dearden, anytime try scorer. And that is $9 odds. Now the Finns, they take on the Knights at Suncorp. The Dolphins are $1.45 favorites in this one. The Knights are $2.75 underdogs with the line sitting at 6.5. The Dolphins, no big changes here for them. For the Knights, though, David Armstrong, he gets a green light to take over from Kalen Ponga at fullback. Gagai returns, and Jed Cartwright, he takes over Jack Hetherington's spot as he goes and continues to sit in the tunnel and wait for Reed Marnie. Now, the third meeting between these two, both have won a game each, with the Knights having won the most recent match, 30 points to 28. The Knights have a 42% win rate at Suncorp, but that is obviously when they're taking on the Brisbane Broncos. I'm backing the Finns here. Katoa, like we said earlier, has been on a whole nother level this year. I agree with you. The Cowboys are to the side for me. I'm putting my fin up. I've been very, very impressed. When injuries happen for the Dolphins, it just seems to be next man up, next man up. They're looking absolutely fantastic. When you can go up to Darwin and put that kind of point, put that kind of game together, and you've got Wayne Bennett, who's not even in proximity of the game. He's making Zoom calls at the halftime meeting, and they're going to go out and put 30 points on a top eight team, you know. I'm just very, very impressed with them. The Knights have absolutely depleted. The halves look awful. Kalen Ponga out for them is just absolute massive blow for them. So, yeah, I can't see anything other than the Finns up.
Yeah, and I agree, because that's a team that we're not done with, and that is the Dolphins, because they have looked outstanding, man. And the last time they versed a Ponga-less Knight, sorry, they won 36-20, and then obviously the very last time was with Ponga, and they pushed them really close. So I like the omen of Ponga being out and the Dolphins to do a jobby here. Ponga ignites so much of that Knights attack that they're a completely different team without him. And that's evidence in the last 2 weeks where he's gone out or he's been uninvolved from his hip and stuff like that. And that's where the team sort of take over. So this team looks a whole lot different without Ponga, and it doesn't look that good. Whereas the Dolphins have developed into a quality team, man, because Katoa has taken a leap, like we've highlighted throughout the show. They have strong forwards, they complete well, and they threaten edges and still have an explosive attack. And Trey Fuller is like a smaller hammer, kind of. He is still very explosive on attack and is still very hungry to look for the ball and get his opportunities, and scored some tries last week. So he's like a shrunken down version of Hammer. Not a big guy, but still an explosive talent. The Knights still have a strong forward pack, so I don't want to go crazy with 13+, but I do think the Dolphins will get it done here. -6.5 at $1.90.
Tasty. My best bet for this one, Jack Bostock has been fantastic on that left edge for them. Partner that up with the Finns win, that'll give you $2.25. Now the Sharks, they take on the Raiders at GAO Stadium. The Sharks are $1.42 favourites in this. Raiders are $2.90 underdogs, and the line sits at 7.5. For the Sharkies, Braden Chindle, he's been a bad man. The news has just come out today, sort of everything that's unfolding with him. Atkinson will partner Nico in the halves. Kato obviously returns for suspension for them as well, but I do hope he manages to sort out whatever it is that's fueling the fire, because he is one of the main parts in the Sharks outfit week in, week out, and they're looking like a real contender with him gelling with Nico each week, which is a real shame. The Raiders, Carey Weeks, he moves into the halves to replace Jamal Fogarty. Very, very young spine here for the Raiders, which is concerning. So this is the 51st meeting between these two, both having won 25 each. As we said just a few weeks ago, the Raiders always get up for the Sharks. They have won 9 of their last 11 games against them, but the Sharks have won the last 2. Both of those have been by 13+ margins. But those games were both at PointsBet Stadium. This is at GAO Stadium, where the Sharks have not beaten them since 2018. Fogarty, though, massive loss for the Raiders. The Sharks have been looking very, very dangerous. I think the Sharks win this one.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with the news. What's happened with Trindle? Do you know?
He's come out today. He blew for a DUI on the weekend. He was drink driving. I'm not sure if it was an incident that occurred after the game or the day after. He was also drug tested just afterwards, where they found traces of cocaine. So I hate when shit like that comes out. It's one thing that you'll notice from us. I don't like to post stuff like that. Players fight their own demons. We both play footy. We know you work hard, you play hard. We're not condoning drugs and all of that kind of shit, but this kind of stuff happens, and hopefully he manages to sort out whatever it is that he's dealing with, because we've seen a lot of incidents like this in the past where it can kind of spiral out of control for them, or even when they come back, they're not sort of playing their best footy and stuff like that. They're still dealing with outgoing shit. And he's been having a fantastic season as well. So, I mean, the coke and all of that kind of stuff, don't get behind the wheel and drive, man.
Yeah, just make better decisions. That's really it. Everyone celebrates a win in one way or the other. It usually involves a bit of drinking. It can sometimes involve that other stuff, but just take it on the chin, man. You made a bad mistake, and just be better from it. Learn from here. Another weirdly close rematch between two teams, where the Sharks only took on the Raiders a couple weeks ago and won 36-22. And like you said, have won the last 2. So they will miss Trindle, but you know they're still pretty much at full strength, and they're bolstered on the bench by a returning Hamlin Ueli, who is a real strong, good go forward for them. So that is good for them. Hines kind of runs the show anyway, with Trindle being a vital piece, but he's kind of there for the good final touches, the try assists down that left side, good goal line kicking. I think they can live without him, and Hines just take a little bit more of that role, which he seems to like to do anyway. He likes to get a lot of touches on the ball and be involved. So I don't think they'll be hampered too much, whereas the Raiders will be hampered by a shit ton of injuries, because they're missing the big one in Fogarty, who has been one of their best players this year. And now they have a very inexperienced half combo in Strange and Weak. So I never like a half combo that young at NRL level. It is danger signs. We've seen that the Sharks were able to cut up the Raiders last time, a better Raiders outfit as well. And they have continued to do so, averaging 37.3 points per game in their last 3. Whereas the Raiders showed the exact same vulnerability against the Broncos last week. Like the Knights, it is a strong forward pack, and it is a home game where it tends to be kind of a fortress for the Raiders with Viking clap and all that. But I really wanted to back the Sharks 13+, but I'm going to stay responsible, go the Sharks -6.5 at $1.90, and hopefully that comes in as a last leg to a multi or something.
Yeah, nice. Have you got Nico Hines in this one in your fantasy games or in your super coach? If you haven't already got the big C on him, put the big C on him in this one, because he's going to be all over it. My best bet for this one, we talked about all the stats to do with Katoa last time, but this time I'm going to his friend, and that is Ronaldo Molitalo. He's been absolutely a try-scoring machine this season, 4 tries in his last 3 games against the Raiders. I'm taking him anytime into the Sharks to win at $2.10. Now, just to recap off our best bets in this one, I've got CNK into the Warriors to win at $3.60. James Tedesco into the Dragons at a plus 13.5 at $4.25. Alicia Katoa into the Storm to win at $3.75. Tommy Talau, Manly win, $2.70. Betting gods, if you are listening to this one, Reece Walsh, Katoni Staggs, and we're wrangling, Jesse Arthurs, and we're wrangling a Staggs at $10. Sunia Taruva into the Strawberry Blonde Thing, Tommy Dearden at $9. Jack Bostock into the Finns at $2.25. And finishing off with Ronaldo Molitalo into the Sharks to win at $2.10.
Very tasty, very tasty. I've gone with the Warriors 13 plus at $1.83. Dragons to cover the plus 5.5 line at $1.90. Storm 13 plus at $1.91. Seagulls 13 plus at $2.25. Broncos 13 plus at $1.91, backing a lot of 13 plus. Hopefully that's not bad juju. Panthers minus 9.5 at $1.85. Dolphins minus 6.5 at $1.90. And then finishing off the week with the Sharks minus 6.5 at $1.90. It's at some good value.
Nice, tasty. Now we're going to move into the repeat set bets and the 40-20s. We're kicking off with the receipt bet, repeat set bet. Bit of a tongue twister in that one. That's our lock of the week. Now, there is no bigger lock of the week, no bigger lock of the year than the Storm to win. 0-11 record, the Bunnies at Amy Park. That is $1.23. Shit odds, but it's a lock.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've gone a little bit more greedy than you, and I completely forgot that you told me that this was pretty much going to be your lock of the week, but I was just looking through all the results, and I thought, man, that's some good value for the Storm, who I know are going to pump the Bunnies, who have just been absolutely atrocious. I'm saying all this now and I've probably cursed them, but I'm going the Storm 13 plus at $1.91 as my repeat set bet. Hopefully that gets me back on track and back in the win column for these bets.
Tasty. Now 40-20 bets. This is our long breaking kick. We're going for something to change, switch the momentum of your punting for the week. We're going for nothing that is lower than 420 odds. Now, I just had 2 try scorers locked into this one, and there was so much of a lock that they didn't give me the $4.20 odds, so I had to add a third into it. That's how juicy they are, Jordan. Ronaldo Molitalo, anytime try scorer. Jack Bostock, anytime try scorer. And Dean Mariner, part of the big three, anytime try scorer. That will give you $5.41 odds. All wingers, 2 of them left, 1 of them right, all playing shit teams, bound to win, bound to score tries. Lock it in.
Yeah, I like it. And it's going with the theme of the big three, man. Hopefully they come through with those anytime try scorers. I've had a crack at adding an anytime try scorer to my 40-20 bet as well. I've gone with Tenny Zalesniak to start the week at $1.57. I think he'll get a lot of opportunities against the Titans. I've gone the Seagulls to cover the minus 8.5 line at $1.90. I think they should be able to do a jobby at home on the Eels, who are missing Moses. And the Sharks finishing off the week head-to-head at $1.44. That all wraps up to $4.29. Oof. And hopefully a 40-20 bet finally comes through.
Yeah, a couple of locks in that one, mate. You've tied that all up into a juicy $4.20 and add the little bit of a 9 on that just to get us humming ho. I like it. That wraps up another show from the lads. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to stick with us as we keep going through more Origin chat as we ramp up to that. You touched on DWZ. We've got a little giveaway that's going to be coming up for him shortly. Game 200, we're going to look at doing a t-shirt giveaway and some tickets to the home game that he will feature in, so get ready for that. Nonetheless, subscribe to our YouTube, give us a review on Spotify, and we'll see you all next week. Peace.